My friends, we live in a culture that is obsessed by first appearances and first impressions. A culture that promotes perfection, that wants to be the next American Idol, America's Got Talent, or The Voice. Shows like this have little patience for imperfection. Plastic surgeons continue to advertise the best facelift ever, and Botox guarantees a wrinkle-free face. The emphasis here is on clearly covering up. Yes, cover up what is ugly, what is unappealing, and anything that doesn't look good. In our first reading today from the book of Leviticus, we encounter the ritual guidelines that deal with rendering a person clean or unclean because of certain skin conditions, such as acne, psoriasis, and eczema. Even dandruff and baldness were described as zara'at, the Hebrew word for leprosy. Similarly, like HIV/AIDS of today, leprosy was not only a dreaded health problem, it was a dreaded social disease as well, and considered a curse from God. And such a condition brought about a religious and social ostracism. Those with skin ailments were deemed unclean and banished from the community and lived on the fringes of society. Leprosy was a disease of being unwanted. And when meeting a normal person, lepers had to cover their mouths and ring a bell, shouting and warning, "Unclean, unclean." And can you imagine what kind of a nightmare it must have been to live on the fringe of the community, to be able to watch all of the goings-on of normal life, and yet be forbidden to make any kind of open contact with family or with friends? Brothers and sisters, in our own contemporary society today, there are still many taboos and fears surrounding health and cleanliness. In our church, many people won't receive from the cup for fear of germs, even though the Center for Disease Control say the chances of catching a disease from a shared cup are far less than using an ATM machine or a self-serve gas pump. Not to mention that when we receive Holy Communion, we're receiving the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So let's not be too harsh on the Israelites. My friends, the leper we hear about in today's gospel did something quite remarkable. He approached Jesus confidently and humbly, knelt down, extending his hands in a gesture of openness and desperation, and begged for healing. "If you wish, you can make me clean." Jesus' body responds right along with his heart. And what no one else would do, Jesus did. Jesus reached out and touched the man and cured him. Words would have been enough, but on this day, Jesus both spoke and touched. In a homily in reference to this gospel, our Holy Father Pope Francis said, and I quote, "Here Jesus responds immediately to the leper's plea, without waiting to study the situation and all its possible consequences. For Jesus, what matters above all is reaching out to save those far off, healing the wounds of the sick, restoring everyone to God's family. Jesus doesn't hold back. He gets involved in people's pain for the simple reason that he knows and wants to show compassion, because he has a heart unashamed to have compassion." End of quote. brothers and sisters, if the Gospels tell us anything about Jesus, is that he regarded human need more important than ritual regulation. Jesus heals the leper in order that the community might be made whole again. Because in the reign of God, there are no outsiders. No one is ever beyond God's loving touch. And isn't that Jesus' way? But since cleanness was a ritual designation, it had to be verified by the priest. So the law required that lepers go to a priest to establish whether they were cured or not. So Jesus instructed the man to observe this requirement, because in order to re-enter the community and participate in its religious life, he would need approval from the priest. So then, brothers and sisters, what would it be like to hear the sound of a leper's bell and that warning cry? What would it be like to come face to face with a leper? Well, they're probably not covered with scabs and lesions, but they are the modern-day lepers, the homeless, the drug users, the alcoholics, the weak of spirit and mind, the ones dying, still dying, of HIV/AIDS, the ones sitting on death row. Perhaps it may be those with cancer. And if they don't make our list, maybe it's the overweight or the aging. What about the immigrants and refugees among us, or those who stand in front of us in the grocery checkout line with food stamps? You know, I think we've all caught ourselves looking at them with a mixture of sympathy and repulsion, relief, and sometimes superiority. And maybe those modern-day lepers are even members of our own families, our children, our brothers and sisters, who have gotten into trouble and brought attention or shame to us. St. Teresa of Calcutta once said that the biggest disease of today is not leprosy, but rather the feeling of being unwanted, uncared for, and deserted by everybody. The greatest evil is the lack of love and charity, the terrible indifference towards one's neighbor who lives at the roadside, assaulted by exploitation, corruption, poverty, and disease. I think all of us are like the leper we hear about today in some way. While you and I may not have visible sores, we all have wounds that are in need of healing. And yet, we all have the strength that is the power to heal. And like the leper in today's gospel, we have to decide that we want to be healed. My friends, we are nearing the Lenten season, a time to strip away all our pretenses and defenses, to discover what lies beneath the layers of all of our own stuff. And should we choose to look deep inside ourselves, we just may find that place within our own unique leprosy that is still in need of healing. Who are the unclean in our lives, in our own times? Who are the ones we don't want to touch? Whom do we avoid in our lives? Who needs the healing of our touch, our presence, our acceptance? Perhaps, my friends, in that discovery, we might be willing to widen our circle to include all those we keep at arm's length, untouchable, and for whatever reason. And today, in a particular way, we are called to imitate the leper's bold faith and Jesus' loving touch. Like them, it demands that we risk crossing barriers and boundaries of convenience and comfort zone in order to reach out to the other, the one living in pain and loneliness. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus, who shares our vulnerabilities and our own suffering, waits for us in the Eucharist. Moments from now, we'll come seeking the touch that cleanses and restores, pleading, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Today, as we approach the Eucharistic table, where Jesus becomes our food and drink and becomes our very bodies, we realize that the prayer of the Gospel's leper finally becomes our own. Suddenly, the prayers we have been saying for years come alive for us. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul will be healed." My friends, the Eucharist is not only the sacrament whereby our bodies are transformed. It is also Jesus' response. "Of course, I want to heal you." Today and every day, Jesus says to us, just as he said to the leper that day, "I do will it. Be made clean." Amen.